You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business leading to business success. Today, we are speaking with Edward DuCoin, founder and CEO of Orpical, an operations and marketing agency. Orpical integrates marketing and operations excellence services to help clients increase not only sales, but bottom line profits. Edward, a privilege to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. It's a privilege to join you.
It certainly is our privilege as well. So your former company was listed by Inc. magazine as one of the 500 fastest growing companies in the USA for three straight years. That is very impressive. What did your company do and how fast did you grow?
Well, we were a direct marketing agency. The company actually got started because I was a manager at a young age, 18 years old, of a telemarketing agency, a telemarketing department with a lawn care company. And I was called into the office in July of 1984, and they said, I got good news and bad news. The good news is you sold out the trucks. The bad news is you got to lay everybody off. I'm thinking, well, that kind of stinks. So I picked up the local newspaper and called everybody who was hiring for telemarketers at the time, and I said, how'd you like to hire 10 or 15 good people and a manager at one shot? And within literally a week, I had three clients. A year later, we had our first office, which was 12 feet by 12 feet. I remember that because it was $144 a month in rent, and I had no idea where I was going to come up with that cash. Our first year, we did $10,000 in sales. Our second year, we broke $100,000. And then we exponentially grew to the point, as a private company, we were doing about $22 million a year before we IPO'd. And just organically grew, basically no outside investment whatsoever, and just focused on what we could achieve. And we did some things early that we didn't know were cutting edge, but, you know, at the time, nobody thought PCs could be utilized in the manner in which we were using them because everybody used mainframes. And we actually had competitors laugh at us. But within a few years, that gave us a huge competitive advantage. We could do things they couldn't do. And we literally could do things in minutes that would take our competitors a day or two to do. And so that enabled us to grow rapidly. And as you mentioned, the Inc. 500, I will always be proud of that for several reasons. First, because we did it 3 years in a row, so you're exponentially growing. It's like you're beating yourself. You're beating another Inc. 500 company. And I'm also proud of the fact that it was more impressive back then. Now with the Inc. 5000, I mean, they still have the Inc. 500, but there's basically 5,500 companies now that get recognized, and there should be because there's 25 million businesses in the United States. So it's still an incredible honor, but it just seemed cooler back then.
Do you believe it is a wise goal for all entrepreneurs to grow their company at such an exponential rate?
No, absolutely not, no. Today, you know, the company went public and then got sold and I got taken back private and then got sold. And I've done several things, you know, that are pretty neat, you know, involved with the NASCAR team. But I've really got back to my entrepreneurial roots in the past few years. And what I thought I was doing was starting a marketing agency. But I realized that if you view my past as a marketer, I thought I was a good marketer. But I really wasn't. The analogy I like to use now is I thought I was a really good chef and had a really good restaurant. So let's call it a really good Italian restaurant. What I really had was a Pizza Hut franchise. And I owned, like, you know, 25 franchises because we had over 25 locations at one point in time. So the procedures and the consistency that you would find in a franchise, I had in my marketing company, and that enabled us to grow at an exponential rate. So I really had to think differently about what we do today, because if I bombard a client with marketing and get results, do they have the internal infrastructure to handle that? So the operations, as you said, what is Orbical? Well, you know, sometimes when I explain where Orbical is, I confuse myself, which is silly, but it's an operations, marketing, and sales agency. You need each of the three of them. And entrepreneurs don't necessarily understand the importance of procedures. If you want to exponentially grow, you have to equally focus on procedures and quality just as much as you'd focus on sales or customer service. And growth, business growth has put more companies out of business. My most recent client, I guess I'd say our largest client, is a father and son team. And when I first met them, you know, they had really nice cars, lived in beautiful homes, and were making really good money. And I said to them, there is no reason to grow. But once you, you know, take this step and you kind of like, once you jump out of that airplane, well, you know, certainly pray the parachute opens, but there's no hopping back on that plane. And, you know, so you really have to determine whether you want to grow at that rate, because unfortunately, statistics are 8 to 9 times out of 10, it's going to put you out of business. We were out of business 2 times and didn't even know it. That's how naive we were with my big company. But, you know, we muddled through, and like all entrepreneurs, had our challenges.
Really good information and also inspiring as well. Why do you believe so many small businesses fail today?
Well, there's a few key reasons. If you read Inc. magazine or any small business blog, they talk about, you know, the lack of sales and cash flow, and they're huge, you know. But I also think it goes deeper than that. I cannot be a cardiothoracic surgeon. I couldn't even spell that word, and I'm actually pretty impressed at this moment that I believe I pronounced it correctly. I could not be a computer programmer. I wanted to be a pilot, but I didn't really do that too well, so I stopped flying. I figured, you know, it's better to live and not be a pilot. But I find it funny, frankly, that so many people think they can be an entrepreneur. It is a mindset. It is literally biological in you. Some of the things that I encounter and have encountered, you almost become numb to it. And what I experience, if you picture, I don't know how big a woolly mammoth was, so let's use an elephant, the biggest elephant on the planet, and the biggest of the biggest elephants on the planet. Well, my concerns and worries are like a flea on that elephant compared to men and women of the military and what they deal with, especially in the time of war. But if you watch some movies, I always find it interesting, like in the battle, the young guys are like freaking out, losing their helmets and, you know, spilling things when it's, they have a few minutes to try to grab something while bombs are going off, you know, around them. And the older guys that have been there and experienced it, they're just eating away. You know, it's like, those bombs are only landing 50 yards away. They can't, you know, their equipment can't go another 50 yards. And if it stops, that means they're moving it, and we'll move then, you know. And it's just because you have the experience. Some days, in some weeks, especially in the startup world, I encounter things as an entrepreneur that make me feel like I'm that, you know, veteran there, and the bombs are going off and people are freaking out. I'm like, we'll be okay. You also, as an entrepreneur, have to have immense faith. And you've also got to have a lot of guts. And so, yeah, cash flow is key. Cash flow is king. Sales are king, customer service is king, you'll hear me talk about procedures, king, but, you know, I'm not going to crack somebody's chest open. I think that's what cardiothoracic surgeon does. I'm not going to do that because I don't have the talent, experience, motivation, determination to go through school, and really I don't have what it takes inside to achieve that, and I find it funny that people think that they can just go be an entrepreneur. And I also think there's a difference between being a small business person and being an entrepreneur. Now, that sounds, I'm sure, you know, anybody who may be listening thinks that that's a ridiculous statement, but I define entrepreneur as somebody who does enjoy the growth, who does enjoy the challenge, you know, at a high level. I know many great small business owners that are making wonderful livings, drive nice cars, putting their kids through college, and they're the smart ones because they understand that they're in a place and a plateau that makes sense for them. So, you know, when does an entrepreneur become you know, was Steve Jobs or even Bill Gates an entrepreneur eventually? Well, they're always growing and they're always expanding, but there comes a point in time where it becomes more of a company than it becomes entrepreneurial. And I think that that's the real challenge as you grow to maintain that entrepreneurial spirit. So to me, there's three levels, and not anyone's better or worse, but there's the small business owner, there's the entrepreneur, and then there's the when the entrepreneur, the company outgrows, you know, that person.
Today we're joined by Edward DeCoin, founder and CEO of Orpical, an operations and marketing agency here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Do you define yourself as a startup junkie?
No. Great question. Absolutely not. Most people think I am. I'm sure most of my family thinks I am. Most of my family doesn't even know what I do because it's as a marketing, sales, and operations agency, it's a little bit difficult to define. I usually just say we're an ad agency. It makes life easier. And then they say, oh, you're like Mad Men. I'm like, yeah, but without the martinis in the afternoon. But if I had my way, we would still be operating Impact, which was Impact, was Impact Telemarketing from 84 to 90. Then it was Impact Marketing because we expanded into so much more. And then when we went public, it became Compass International. Now, we went from, as again I mentioned earlier, first-year sales, $10,000, to 14 years later, privately, we were doing over $20 million a year. And then as when we went public, we were part of a roll-up. We didn't go public ourselves, but part of three other companies that went public. And combined revenues were $90 million. Now, I was on the board of directors, I was president of my division, and I was highly involved in the acquisition process as far as the integration strategy. And I really didn't realize it necessarily back then, but I certainly realize it now, is we were so successful because of the procedures and, you know, the repetition and the consistency. But if I had my way, I'd still be doing that today. So you go from 10,000 to, you know, 100,000 to a million to 5 to 10 to 20, IPO to 90, 150. I'd love to be, you know, the CEO or senior executive of something that I started in my bedroom that's now a $1 billion company. Because it's, to be frank with you, it's a lot of the same challenges, but you also have significantly less worry. You know, why do entrepreneurs want to grow? Well, they want to grow because it's A, challenging. And if anybody tells you they're growing for money, then they're never going to grow. But it does come at a point in time, whether it's 5 years or 10 years or 15 years later, you really enjoy the fact that there's the money in the bank and you got the line of credit. And if something hits the fan, you're going to be able to get, you know, your payroll covered without an issue. So you're focused on different things. The thing I didn't like about being a public company, and especially the way it was back in 1999, it was all about earnings per share. Now, I know it's about earnings per share always, and it is today, but back then especially, I said to our board members, you know, after like our fourth meeting, because I was the young guy, and I respected and immensely respect the people on our board, but I said to two of them, do you guys even know what we do? And their answer shocked me. It was like, well, it's really irrelevant. We're here to manage the finances, the earnings per share. We will make acquisitions. We will sell divisions to make sure we have Wall Street satisfied. And I thought that was cool, but it was, again, like I focused with you a moment ago, you know, why do businesses fail? Well, I believe businesses fail because they shouldn't have been started in the first place. I learned at that point in time that, wow, this is totally new. You know, I know that I've got customer service people focus on customer service and sales focusing on sales and technology focus on technology. Now I've got this whole new wisdom of individuals that are focused on the earnings per share, the acquisitions, the sales. So it was a wonderful learning, but I felt that I brought to the table, what I brought to them was the remembering that we're a people company first. To answer your question, am I a startup junkie? No. I mean, I also like right now, I've said to my team, this is not the Learjet company. This is the nice car company. This is the nice home company. And I'm not all about flying. I've flown in Learjets. They're great. But I'm not all about that anymore. Probably 20 years ago, I certainly was. But what we're doing today, there's not the disruption for us to really, truly, exponentially grow. We will discover it. And what I'm focused on today is having the best people that I can possibly find working with me, and then as we can afford an expanded team. But I will continue to focus on this startup until we can get the traction, until we can get the foothold that will take us up. You know, it's kind of like when you get on a roller coaster and that, you know, you're going up and that thing grabs you and you feel that grab. Well, we haven't been grabbed yet by the thing that's going to take us all the way up. So I will continue, and this will continue to be a startup until we've earned the right to be either a small business where there's consistency or a larger business, and that's what we're really going to head towards. I mean, I have no, you know, if we're going to be a $1 million-a-year business, that quite frankly bores me on many levels. Not that I've got to be a $100 million-a-year business, but if I'm not working towards that, you know, it's kind of like a football team that's not working towards the championship. Even if they got no shot to make the championship this year, you know, there's teams in the NFL that they knew going in they weren't going to win the Super Bowl. So they're drafting and preparing for that. If we're not really preparing to be, you know, $50-100 million company, you know, really doesn't interest me. And it's going to take, I also know it's going to take a good 5 to 10 years until we get something, unless we get something that's completely disruptive. So I'm not a startup junkie, and I think most people who are startup junkies, they're addicted to adrenaline, and they're not necessarily committed to the company. They're committed to the adrenaline. I'm looking forward when there's a little bit less adrenaline, but you got to work through that.
Great analogies and perspective. What does Orbical stand for, and what do you think most about in Orbical as a business today?
Well, Orbical, as I stated, is a marketing, sales, and operations agency. We want to work with entrepreneurs that want to exponentially grow their business. But when we were forming the company, we also wanted to say, you know, who do we want to work with? I've had some interesting relationships, as we've all had, and there's some attributes in whether it be, you know, vendors, certainly employees, and even clients. Sometimes firing a client is a great business move. So the O stands for optimistic. We want to work with people that are optimistic. I don't want to work with downers. I want to work with people that want to help solve problems because challenges will come up, but they're optimistic about it. Respect is huge for me. Matter of fact, years ago I got told I should stop saying sir to people because, you know, I would say yes, sir, you know, or whatever. But I really am all about respect in every part of life. Passionate. I think we talked about that. You know, entrepreneurs have to be passionate, and you know, if you're not passionate, you're not an entrepreneur. You know, it's kind of like I used to race cars, and people say, "Do you race cars?" It's like, well, you're not a racer unless you're racing. So I'm not racing right now. I hope to get back to it. Integrity, very, very big word for me. My personal integrity has been challenged in the past, and you know, I want to make sure that we emulate that all the time as best you can. We're never perfect, but as best we can. Curiosity is the C. Just being curious, try and find the disruption, try and find a way to make things better. Altruistic, probably more important as I get older, I guess, just as human nature, but instead of having the Lear jet, I would rather fly first class and use that extra $20 million that I would have left over to help other people. And it doesn't take $20 million. You know, you're checking out at the food store, they got those things you can rip off for $1 or $3 or $5 to help other people. But we want to stand for something other than just pure cash profits. And frankly, the most important word to me is loyalty. I actually have a book coming out next year that's called Indicted Loyalty. Guilty of Being Loyal is the premise of the book. And I think business loyalty is such an important attribute. So again, Orbical, optimistic, respect, passion, integrity, curiosity, altruistic, and loyalty. That's where it came from. Plus, it sounds cool.
Very, very clever, I might add. Now, lastly, and in conclusion, you have been at this for a long time, 30 years, and you're only 49 years old. What is one tip you could share with the entrepreneurs listening in today?
Well, I'd like to say a lot of things, but I think the one tip would be know why you're in business. What's your end game? If you want to grow, then grow, but know the challenges. If you want to have a small business and have a nice living and be able to play softball on weekends without an issue, that's great as well. But know yourself first, and also know that if you're a cardiothoracic surgeon, you may not be great at running a whole medical practice, so stick with that. If you are an entrepreneur, know it in your heart first. You'll feel it. Then and only then really pursue your entrepreneurial endeavors. If not, it's okay. You know, there's a lot of other ways to have a wonderful, satisfying, and rewarding life.
Great stuff, Edward. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before you go, tell our listeners where they can get more information about Orbical online and how they can be in touch as well.
Well, it's real simple. Our website is orbical.com, O-R-P-I-C-A-L.com. My email address is very simple, ed@orbical.com. I'm on Twitter, Edward Ducoin. So it's E-D-W-A-R-D-D-U-C-O-I-N. Yeah, no, it's real easy to get a hold of me, and I would welcome any type of communication.
Edward, thanks so much for your time today here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric.
We've been speaking with Edward Ducoin, founder and CEO of Orbical, an operations and marketing agency. Orbical integrates marketing and operations excellence services to help clients increase not only sales, but bottom line profits. And once again, the website of reference is orbical.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.